You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Welcome into the Packers Total Access post-game show. My name is Clayton Bailey. I'm joined alongside my good buddy here, Jacob from Packernet Podcast, the fantasy guru, et cetera, et cetera. Jacob, what do you think, man? We come away with a big win here, Packers over the Bears. How do you feel about this win, man?
Man, I'm still buzzing, bro. That was just – I needed that. I think we all needed that. I was screaming and hollering. I'm so glad we didn't have to try and do that. I love live streaming with you guys, but it's just – I can't express myself the way that I need to when I watch games. There's a lot of cussing. There's a lot of pacing. There's a lot of throwing stuff around and then cheering. And, man, I'm happy, man. I'm grinning ear to ear. I'm so excited.
It's funny you say that because I'm looking at the screen right now, and Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones just did a post-game interview, and both of them grinning ear to ear, which is absolutely awesome. It's just a good bounce-back game, man. And like we said, we kind of seen Minnesota coming into the season most likely to be a loss. And then you've seen this Bears game immediately following, like, okay, that's a great, great rebound game right there. So everything kind of turned out as we expected. The Packers come away with a 27-10 victory. And, Jacob, I think now's the time. Let's go ahead and do this. It's a victory, so let's roll out the barrel real quick. What do you think?
I think it's time.
Dude, rolling out the barrel. That was live video there from, well, I should say a past game at Lambeau. But what are you drinking tonight, Jacob? What are we having on this victory?
So I'm trying to keep away from beer and all the extra calories. So I'm just going to go straight whiskey on the rocks. I've got a Buffalo Trace. It's just kind of my go-to, either that or Jameson. But, man, trying to stay sharp. So I usually don't have any cocktails until late in the third kind of stuff, but man, it was a little tempting. That was just such a fun game to watch, man. So many different little components. Watkins, we'll get into it, but man, it felt good.
No, it was great, man. I think everybody stepped up pretty well. There was a couple gaffes here and there, but I'm having a Depot Street. It's brewed right here in Jonesboro, Tennessee, the oldest town in the state of Tennessee. It was actually supposed to be the capital of the state of Franklin, but this isn't a history podcast. We're going to talk about Packers. So with that being said, let's take one quick look here at the podium and make sure that that nobody's there just yet. But we're going to also get into our dog of the week here in a little bit. But
I got mine. I don't know. We didn't talk about it. Do you know who yours is? I mean, I don't – let's not be – I guess we'll see if we're on the same page or not, but I got mine.
Absolutely. We'll go through the game here. We'll go through some notes, and we also may have a guest on tonight as well, guys. Packer owner Bobby is right there live at Lambeau, so we're going to see if he can hop on with us as well. But just let's start right here in the first quarter, man. When the game kind of cranked up, the thing I noticed was Rodgers wanted to get Sammy Watkins involved pretty early, right? And he did lean on the run quite a bit in that first drive, and I love how they leaned on the run and then would hammer those RPO slants right there on the backside and just kind of keep those linebackers on their heels there in the first quarter. And then, of course, it got a little bit closer as the game went on, but that first drive really kind of set the tone for me. It was like, okay, I think they're going to stay with the run tonight. A couple times they got away from it, but
Clayton,
the first quarter, what stood out to you early?
Well, I was going to say, can we pump the brakes real quick? Let's just set this up. So it's a 205th matchup between the Bears and the Packers. I feel like that's something we should highlight real quick. And then we look at the way that the offensive line started. Jenkins, obviously, we got back right tackle. And then we also we left Yosh at left tackle. Right guard was Newman. Center was obviously Myers. Then we had running at left guard. I liked that lineup. The run blocking, I think, still could be improved. And a lot of the, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but did Jenkins give up 2 sacks, or am I crazy?
I know he gave up at least 1. It might have been 2.
And I think it might have been a 2. But, and that just makes me so – you watch and you hear Chris Collinsworth, that's a guy that blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, he just gave up 2 sacks, and you're saying how he's – and he is important to the line. I get that. And I really think he improved our run blocking. I think we should set that up real quick. And like you said, man, it seemed like that it was Aaron Jones right from the jump. And, I just love Aaron Jones. Devontae obviously was probably the most important person, the catalyst on our offense. It has to be Aaron Jones now. Or am I crazy? I mean, the guy can do everything. And I forget how good he is, man. He can knife. He's so good at getting small and fitting in between those gaps when he needs to. He's good at getting big when he needs to throw his shoulder down. He's good at extending the play, and I forget how fast he is,
Yeah. No, he's he's just one of those guys too, like Chris Collinsworth says, right? He's one of these guys. But I don't know, man. Aaron Jones is just – he's such a joy, to watch play too. It just seems like his teammates absolutely adore him. And he's a leader in every sense of the word. He's one of those quiet leaders, but he's definitely a spark plug for this offense for sure. And there in the first quarter, it got a little bit shaky when they ran the flea flicker. But again, going in, my game plan here, when I did the game plan pod the other day, Jacob, I said ride the running game. Versus Minnesota, you only had 18 runs, 39 pass. We need at least 25 runs and protect the football, win the turnover differential battle. And then play with a heavy box with outside rush contain. Do not let Justin Fields get on the edge. Make him stand in that pocket and make him be a quarterback. And you've seen it, man. When he was passing, he was horrible. He is a horrible quarterback. And I'm not just trying to hate on the Bears. I'm not trying to sound like, this is a hot take. This guy does not play like a quarterback. He doesn't. What did you think of Fields? Let's go kind of across the line there, man. Am I too harsh on him, or do you see it the same way?
Nah, man. I mean, the dude he was 7 for 11. His own team didn't trust him to throw the ball more than 11 times. Let that sink through your mind right there. I mean, the guy, if you're down by 2 scores and you're still forcing the run, and don't get me wrong, it made me sick to my stomach to see the way that the Packers defense could not stop the run. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, they're not thinking the Bears are going to run the ball down by 2 touchdowns. You'd think that they would at least trust Fields enough to start maybe extending the play. I mean, for good Lord's sake, Darnell Mooney is their best receiver by far. Guys, he was targeted 2 times. He had 1 catch for -4 yards. I mean, I shut down their offense. And as I said, coming into the game, I actually was really low on Montgomery. I did not think I saw a lot of him in week one in San Fran or versus San Fran with all the rain. He definitely showed that he can run the ball. I'm not going to give him much credit because I really do think the Packers defense, it's just, I don't get it. We're just that bad against the run, but whatever. Khalil Herbert even came in and got his. They both averaged, Montgomery averaged 8.1, Herbert averaged 9.5. Guys, that's not okay. That's going to end up biting us in the butt at the end of the year if we don't show that up. But again, nobody on their offense caught more than two balls. Equanimeous St. Brown was their biggest receiver of the day, guys. Two receptions, 39 yards on four targets. Other than that, there's nothing else to write home about whatsoever. I mean, we completely shut them down other than that running attack that they had. And that's, again, what makes me very upset, just because we just seemed like we couldn't close certain gaps. And it's even guys that I love, like I watched Quay Walker. He did not seem as dominating this time, this game. I will say, though, and my little caveat to the future, maybe dog, is, man, Preston balled out. I was very, very impressed with Preston. And then I was really excited to see that Savage, even though I still think I saw a lot that I want to see improved by Savage, a lot of it, but him and Amos were the top four. Yeah. Savage was number two. Amos is number four in total tackles. So at least they're throwing themselves in the mix. And I'm excited, man. It was a good game. And Gary got a sack. So two tackles for loss. It was good, man.
Yeah, completely agree, man. It is amazing, man. You make a great point. Only 11 passes. This is a guy that you mortgage the franchise on. You said, this is the guy who's going to be our quarterback for the next 10 years. And they let him throw the ball 11 times. And
down and most of the game, down by multiple scores.
Yeah, and losing the entire game. It's not like they were playing from ahead, right? No. But again, that's what I seen on the tape, man. I went back and watched a few of his, the final three games of last year. The guy was just, I was blown away, because you hear the media talk about Justin Fields and all this potential, and it sounds as if he's this, you know, elite quarterback in the making. And I watched those last three games, and I'm like, the last three games he played, and it's like, what in the, and then you go watch the San Francisco game, and the media, what do they say? Well, it was in the rain, and I get that. I understand that, but yeah, dude, the guy's just, he is not a QB. But again, the running game took over, man. It's what we wanted. So if I'm looking at this correct, we had 38 carries. And again, my goal was 25. So they went 13 over on the carries, which is absolutely awesome. And it's no surprise that that's why they came out victorious for sure. Again, it was nice to see Alan Lazard. Alan Lazard looked pretty healthy. I got to mention the ayahuasca celebration was just phenomenal. As soon as I seen it, I looked at Mandy and I said, I'm pretty sure they just did an ayahuasca celebration. And I was like, you know what? I may look like an idiot, but I'm going to tweet this out. So I tweeted it out. And like 3 minutes after I tweeted it out, Pat McAfee tweeted, you know, something similar. And I was like, I'll be darned. It was the ayahuasca day. And that's what I love about Rodgers. And for everyone who tries to make it sound as if his teammates hate him, they look like they were having a lot of fun, and that had been rehearsed quite a bit. Yeah. So yeah, just saying. Quay flashed to me again, Jacob. I think we got us one, man. Quay was all over the ball. You know, he made a couple of mistakes, got washed out of the run a couple times.
Yeah, a couple times he overran and he got took a bad angle. But honestly, it's for him to be – that's his second game, like I said. You know what I mean? So he took another step, like you said, and he was, fifth in tackles. He had a pass breakup, a pass deflection. So, man, I'm stoked. And then did you see Jair's interception?
Right at the end.
It's so good, man.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for a better way to end it. That's for sure. No. And, you know, the other thing there, I think it was in the – I can't remember if it was in the second quarter or not, but it was early in the game. Watson had the end around for 9 yards. And then Aaron Jones had a nice little inside zone run. And then it was, you know, two plays after. Actually, there was a play in between that Watson end around. The pre-snap motion with Watson doing the same end around motion set up a play action to the halfback. And that's when he hit Sammy Watkins over the middle for a nice little game. Just everything was marrying so well together as far as the run and the pass. But we're going to go right quick. We got us a guest on the line here. And let's hope
there he is.
He's got good connection. Bobby, live from Lambeau Field. How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? Doing good. Just got out.
Good. Was it hopping?
Yeah, it was a good game out there, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, so what stood out to you tonight, man, live from Lambeau, dude? What was the crowd like? But then on top of that, just from the game standpoint, what do you think the Packers did so well?
Oh, man, we were just able to move the ball more. You know, we stuck to the run. We got away from that the first game. Didn't give the running backs a lot of touches. But we made sure we ride Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. We rolled them a lot during the game, and it paid off, as you can see.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we got 38 carries was the total carries, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was a lot more than the first game. That's what we need to do. We had to run the ball. We did one deep throw to Sammy Watkins. I can't remember how many yards that was, but that was huge.
Yep. Bobby, what was the crowd like? It seemed like that they were a lot louder this game. Am I crazy or is that?
Oh,
true?
Yeah. Yeah, the crowd, like, my ears were ringing.
Yeah.
I was eight rows up from the Packers bench, and it's just, hey, how you doing? Go Pack. And it's just, my ears was ringing, man. I was getting goosebumps. It's crazy. Like, it was awesome. It was amazing energy out there today.
Awesome. Awesome. Good stuff, man. We appreciate you taking a few minutes, man, and dropping in here with us. Looks like you're heading out of the joint there. I don't know if you're in Harlem Plaza or over next to Title Town or where, but we appreciate you taking the time to join us, bro. And hey, I was going to tell you, Bobby, when we're up there in December, we're going to do dinner Sunday night before the Monday night football game. We're going to do that at 1919 Kitchen and Tap. We'd love to hook up.
Okay, that sounds good, brother. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, bro. Yes, thanks for dropping in, man. You have a great night. Be safe.
All right, y'all have a good one. Go Pack.
Go Pack, go. Love that guy. So,
yeah, dude, that you could hear it on Vision 2, man. The crowd was topping. And, of course, yeah. We have LaFleur trying to pump the crowd up, which you love to see. I know people get upset, and they're like, man, we have to pump the crowd up. But I don't know, dude. That gets me fired up that the coach is that engaged with the fans.
They,
yeah.
They did a clip, and it zoomed in on him, and he clearly goes, let's fucking go. Like, Matt LaFleur whipping his towel, and then, oh, man, it's funny.
Yeah, so Aaron Rodgers finished tonight 19 of 25 or 234, two touchdowns, no interceptions, a quarterback rating of 131.1. I think we're going to see, more and more of this, Jacob, that as Rodgers gets older, it's going to be more of a game manager, you know, and that's what we needed tonight, I feel like. So what did you think of Rodgers' performance, man? Did you you think he played pretty well?
I do, and honestly, when you think about there was a couple passes that, like, that one with Dillon wide open, he threw it in the dirt, and he just kind of looked at himself like, oh, man. And he had a couple where he stretched it a little bit out of the reach. I think that Rodgers took a huge step from week one to week two, much like we saw last year. And again, it was little things, and it's little dink and dunks. But that play, gosh, where did I have it? Where Jones scrambles out, kind of doing a wheel route out of the backfield, and Rodgers has time to look at him, look at the defender, point, say, no, go up that way, and then he just kind of lofts it, flicks it, so that Jones can then turn around midair, back up and catch the ball, and then back it into the sideline. And it was just like, all he does, he just points. He goes, go that way. You know, that's backyard ball, man. That's fun stuff to watch. And honestly, I'm just excited, man. And it was good to see. I think that they got Christian Watson involved in those end around, you know, the jet sweep stuff where Roger was just toss that ball, get him. That's technically a pass. Get him, you know, on the stat book, get him used to taking some hits. That last one that he did where he came around the line and got thumped, I was very proud of him because he's not a big guy. You know, he's a tall, he's not tiny, but he's not a big bodied guy. And he took that hit and then he took it and went forward for a yard. So I was proud. I was like, heck yeah, man.
Yeah. He actually dished a little out there too, which was awesome.
He showed a little dog in him.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the touchdown run there, first of all, Aaron Jones, it was 11 personnel. It was a strong right look. They had halfback same, right? So the halfback on the same side as the tight end. So you had the tight end and the halfback on the right side. They ran a toss play to the strong side, which is kind of rare because what they like to do is line up the halfback opposite tight end and run away, you know, from the strong side. That was a pretty cool little toss play. So you're starting to see all these wrinkles kind of come into play a little bit more, which is going to be cool looking forward to. Now, let's talk special teams for a second, man. My God, dude, they were – I mean, other than Amari Rodgers giving us a scare or two, they were pretty much flawless. I mean, the kick coverage was great. How many times did we – I know there was twice, at least twice, that we pinned them inside the 25, right, yeah, on kickoff. So that's all playing out. And I know that you you mentioned in the Discord chat, was it Dallin that made a play? Is that right?
Dallin Levitt, yeah, he made a good play. He also had a penalty on one, so that's whatever. But, yeah, I'm looking right here. Pat O'Donnell, two punts, 122 yards. One touchback, one in the 20, and that one that was a touchback, that was a 70-some-odd yard punt in the air and then bounced like 15 yards into the end zone. So, like you said, man, we got something with Pat O'Donnell. That's quietly, I think, one of the best signings that we've done in the offseason. And the fact that, like you said, we don't hear a lot, even if we're 29th out of 30th, if we're not getting blocked punts and we're not missing kicks, I don't care what our rank is, you know what I mean? And then that being said, Rodgers did have – he had a kick return for 24 yards, and then a couple punt returns, a little iffy there. But what do you read from real quick? Rodgers saying when they were asking him about Amari Rodgers, and he goes, "Well, he's returning kicks now." People said, in my opinion, they thought, "Well, that's a dig on Rodgers saying that Amari Rodgers isn't ready to be a receiver." Is it possible that Aaron Rodgers, is saying that the coaches aren't letting him be a receiver? I was trying to look at it from a Schlip perspective, where I go the opposite of what everyone else is thinking. You know what I mean?
Right. Man, for me, dude, it's all, you know, it's all just hearsay. You know, we don't know what he meant. Yeah. You know, now, one thing I will say is, did he lie? No. I mean, he's our kick returner. Like, what did the media expect Rodgers to say? Because this is what – I'm going to get angry here. This is what pisses me off about the media.
Here we go.
They say that players are so cliche and they won't give you an answer and they just use the same old cliches, right? And then when they do give you an honest answer, they either get mad or go, "Oh my gosh, what did he mean by that?" You know, like they asked him, you know, Amari Rodgers not being, I can't remember the question exactly, but he's, yeah, he's returning kicks. Next question. Like, I don't see a problem with it, but I'm very kind of cut and dry like that. Yeah, I don't think there's much to read into there. I think what it says, though, is we've got a lot deeper receiving core than we thought we had, you know, coming into the season. And that's exciting. So let's do this. Let's go to the podium real quick. We got Aaron Jones.
Yeah. Right?
Let's see what he's got to say.
What's it like out there when you're just running in these holes or something like that?
The holes look massive at that point. It's like you kind of, on some runs, you have a two-way go. You can hit it outside or you can cut it back inside. And When you have those choices in those lanes and that kind of space, it's a good day, especially as a running back.
What is he in your touchdown catch with AJ out front?
Man, AJ does it all. Catches the ball, he can block, and he was blocking. They're starting the middle linebacker Roquan on that, and he sprung me into the touchdown. So, you know, that shows a lot. AJ cares about me, and I care about him, and we'll lay it all out for each other.
Aaron, you know, it's not like you haven't been an important piece around here for a long time, but it really has been the other Aaron that's kind of made things go in the passing game. How do you and AJ, I don't know how much you talk about it, but how do you guys feel about the idea that this may be your recipe offensively for a while here? How do you guys feel about that?
We haven't really talked about it, but it's fine with us. We have no problem with it, but the thing we have talked about is just being a spark, you know. When you run somebody over, you break a long run, you can see the energy from the sideline. And last week, when I broke my little long run, you can see the sideline get energized. And so we know we can be a spark plug. So that's some of the things that we've talked about, though.
Anything else?
All
right.
Thank you.
All right, cool. So there you heard Aaron Jones, and I believe if I heard the question right, they asked about, you know, A.J. Dillon and them splitting carries and blocking for one another. There was one play that really stood out to me before the end of the first half there, Jacob, where it was a pony personnel, right, the pony package.
Yep.
But I love what they did with the pony package tonight. They didn't always just line them up both in the backfield. And for those listening, the pony package is basically A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones on the field at the same time. But rather than put them as a double sidecar, you know, alongside Rodgers, there was times that they split Aaron Jones out wide. There was other times that they split A.J. Dillon out wide. But in my notes here, I've got pony package, Jones motion to the pitch, right? So he was split out wide. He motions over, catches the pitch from Rodgers off the snap, and A.J. Dillon became the lead blocker. And that was actually that touchdown run on the right side. I love what they're doing with the pony package. I really, really do. And I love the fact that not only is it somewhat unpredictable to run the pony, it's also how they're using it. You know, if you'd have told me going into the game that they're going to have A.J. Dillon split out wide while Aaron Jones is in the sidecar, I'd have been like, I don't know, man. That's probably stretching it a bit. But they did. They broke out all the stops. But A.J. Dillon had a pretty solid night, too. I know nowhere near Aaron Jones is what we're showing here, 8.8 yards per carry. I don't know if that's completely accurate, 15 carries for 132 yards. But A.J. Dillon, 18 carries, 61 yards. And I know that's less than 4 yards a carry, but the thing about A.J. Dillon when he runs the ball, especially late in the game, Jacob, it's like those old prize fights, right, man? You get a boxer that just starts leaning on his opponent and leaning on him and leaning on him.
Situational rushes. Like that stat line maybe isn't impressive, but the situations where he did get that yard that we needed. I don't care if we need 1 yard, he gets us 1 yard and 1 inch, and that's all we need. So that's what he does, and that's what he's there to do. And like you said, man, that doing that double backfield thing, that's dangerous. And I think I saw a graphic at one point that it showed that we had 11 plays with both of them on the play, both of them on the field at the same time, compared to last week where I think it was only two or something like that. So obviously LaFleur, in that press conference after the game, when he was flabbergasted that he didn't himself call more plays for Jones, you know what I mean? Like I knew that this was what was going to happen going into this game. And real quick, one thing, as I wrote it in my notes, as Jones was speaking there about Roquan, man, you talk about it. So if you look at the stat sheet, this is where everybody thinks Roquan's so great. Roquan, oh gosh, he's the best. He's so fast, blah, blah, blah. He had 11 tackles, 5 solo. He also missed like 4. He had like 3 or 4 different plays where he overran stuff. He got burned a couple times. He got blocked out of multiple plays. He got stuffed on that 4th and short. I mean, I saw many times where Roquan, again, situationally lost the game for the Bears, but he shows up on the stat line. So great. Show up on the stat line every game and then, you know, get graded a 28 on PFF. And then have everybody vote you into the Pro Bowl. I don't care, man. That's cool. Everybody knows, and you know at the end of the day that you suck, bro.
That's a fact, dude. That's a fact. I'll take the dub. You can have the tackles. Enjoy the stat column.
Have fun in Honolulu in the Pro Bowl. That's great.
Exactly. There was one time that I did see Aaron Jones take the corner on Roquan and just beat him in the corner. And I was like, okay, so his strength is supposed to be his quickness, his lateral movement. Yeah. And Aaron Jones, I mean, just ate his lunch. So, love it. Another thing that stood out to me was Eric Stokes. There were several times that I seen him kind of come into the picture. Early in the game, I think it was a 3rd and long, just him. They ran a slant pattern. We're trying to get the yak yards to pick up the first, and Eric came in and just laid the boom. Yeah. I thought Eric Stokes had a great, great rebound game tonight for sure.
If you remember, there was also that only long play that they tried for Mooney. Mooney was doing a long stretch play. Stokes was with them 100%, stride for stride. And it was towards the end of the game there, and it was when they really were trying something. And even Chris Collinsworth, which, again, here's a guy that blah, 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 he runs up our tail. It's just, God, I hate him. But anyways, Stokes is running, man. He was running foot for foot with them, and that's really, really great to see, like I said, to see Amos, to see Savage. Again, I saw a lot from Savage that I did not like today. Some of the runs were they broke into the secondary, and he was turning himself around. He looked like he didn't know which way to run. I don't like that about him. But Amos and Savage, they were in the top 4 for tackles, and I really liked what we saw out of our secondary. Jair got burned on that, like you said, that flea flicker, but he was more looking for to stop the big play. You saw he was running down the sideline. He didn't even turn back. He was like, I can't believe they're turning back to not get more out of this. But that being said, I thought Rasul Douglas, had it not been for a few other key performances, that'd be my dog of the game, because he quietly, I mean, he stopped. There was that one series where he broke up that. It was a very Jair-like tackle where he broke up the behind the line of scrimmage quick pass to the wide receiver. And then I think the next play one was a 3rd and long where they were setting up a screen play that got way too much yardage. I think it was like a 3rd and, gosh, I don't know, 15 or something. They got like 12 yards. It had it, and it only stopped because of the fact that he knifed in there and stopped that play. So props to Doug, sure. And then Gary, man, coming in there, getting two tackles for a loss, another sack. It's just good to see.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Cool. We got a couple of chat comments here I've been neglecting. First of all, B. Rambo says, see, just chimed in here, said, hey, Clayton, go Pack, go, said Jacob with all exclamations there. So good stuff. We have
Rambo.
Yeah, Mike in the chat says, been saying it all week, the Packers need to get 33-28, 32 touches to win the game. They had 37 tonight. You're right, Mike. We seen you on Twitter all week long, man, and you nailed it, dude.
Was Mike the one that called in the PAD and said the 32 touches as well?
I think he may have.
There was a number. If it was not, then we have to figure out why that number and how many people. I mean, that's true, though. We got to, what was it, 38 total? Five of them were Rodgers, so that's right there, 33. Boom, nailed it.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Absolutely. And then he also said, Mike said here in the chat, since 1992, the Packers are 47-15 versus the Bears. Love it, love it, love it. So, yeah, good stuff, man. Let's check back on the podium here real quick. You know, as far as my notes, one thing I do have, nobody's at the podium at the moment. Quay Walker noticed that he was spying Fields. There they put a middle spy in the middle, and they did an outside rush. You know, they had the outside contain, get a little bit of push from the three technique as well. And then you could see Fields kind of step up a touch, and you look up, and when they showed the replay from behind
Quay
the offense,
doing this.
Quay was just like, I dare you to do it, boy.
I don't know if you listen. I think I even said it on your podcast. I definitely said it on mine a couple times that's what I want. I want them to let Devondre do his thing and just kind of, you know, float around. But then I want Quay literally spying Fields and just daring him to run. And I said, just please, please show me that. And when I saw it, I literally jumped up out of my chair and I was like, yeah, there it is. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think Rashawn Gary had like his best game. I think he played solid, but there in the third quarter, there was one play where Fields broke contain. And I'm like, oh crap, here we go. But it was the very next play. Rashawn Gary got a sack. And completely took all of the energy out of the Chicago offense. So he showed up when he needed it. And that's one of the things that's not talked about enough is the great edge rushers, the great pass rushers in the history of the game, they know when to turn it on and when to turn it off. And I heard Justin Tuck talk about it. I heard, I believe Reggie White actually mentioned it in one interview. It was just like, yeah, you can't just burn up all your energy on every single play. You've got to really be strategic. And I know they've got moves that they set up. They'll go to a swim move one play. They'll go to a bull rush the next. They'll go to over-under. But the other thing is saving just a little bit in the tank, especially for those third downs where you really got to get after the quarterback. And I feel like Rashawn is starting to understand that big time. There.
You know what I'd be really interested to see. I have no doubt in my mind that if we look at the snap counts, I do not see Kingsley and Igbari. I do not see Garvin. I don't think I saw Kingsley that I can remember twice. I do not remember even seeing Garvin on the field compared to last week where they both got 10 and 12 snaps. So I said last week, I wonder if this is a conditioning issue or if this is something where they're trying to game plan. And I don't know if maybe after that week they said, nah, we got to have our guys on the field as much as until they are ready to go off the field. We should not just be preemptively keeping them fresh. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
that's, I want to see the PFF grades. I want to see the snaps. I think it'd be really, really interesting to see what that final tally is, because they definitely made some changes. I do not remember even seeing Garvin out there. I don't see him. He doesn't have a tackle. He doesn't have pressure. So going from 12 snaps last week to nothing this week, to me, is interesting. I'll say
that. Yes. And as far as Preston Smith, man, I think he had a great game. Really showed up. Done a great job playing discipline. He got away from protecting the read option edge there on one play, but all night long, really, really played solid. There was one time there where it was excellent read option defense. You could tell that, and even Chris Collinsworth made a comment. He's like, I don't know what Justin Fields thought he saw there if he lost sight of Preston, because he should not have kept that ball. Right there. Yeah, Preston is just waiting to eat his lunch for sure. And then, obviously, with the sacks as well, had a great game there. So, again, Stokes kept popping up. That one-on-one play that you talked about there against Mooney, ran stride for stride with him. The run defense started to deteriorate there late in the second half. And I think that had a lot to do with the game plan change, Jacob. I don't think it was necessarily the players as much as it was, okay, look, they're down two scores now. They're down two touchdowns. Let's really start to play the pass here. Let's let them have a little bit of the run. And that's the thing, man. I'm not saying I agree with it, but what I've learned studying everybody across the entire National Football League and hearing the Greg Cosell talk about it is that teams are just willing to give up the run now. Their top priority is stopping the pass, and it absolutely drives me insane when I'm watching a game. But at the same time, when you look at the great teams in the league, they're doing the same thing, man. They're kind of bending but don't break, don't give up the big play, and allowing teams to have a little bit of a run. But what do you think of the run defense, man? Is it something that it's a problem, right?
It's driving me nuts. I have it here in all caps 3 different times throughout my notes, which I do what Clayton does here, where I do the front and back. I have it in caps 3 or 4 times. Run defense is poo, I'll say nicely. Underlined and underscored. And I put, again, I said, I do not trust Barry's ability to adjust. And when I said that, I underlined it, and I was like, two games in a row, the guy sees what we're getting slashed at, and he doesn't adjust. But then if I'm playing devil's advocate against myself, okay, so like you said, maybe we're willing to give up the run. Maybe we're saying, okay, beat us, Fields. And clearly they did not trust him to do that. He had 11 passes, guys. So I'm sitting here yelling at myself, yelling at the Barry, but at the end of the day, he was right. I was wrong. I'm an idiot. I'm yelling at the TV. I don't get paid millions of dollars to do football things. You know what I mean? So I'm sitting here and I look and I go, okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense. So I feel like every Packer fan that's screaming at the TV needs to maybe stop. In the moment, you feel like you're so correct, you feel like you're so right, and then you stop and you look at the box score, you look at the patterns, you look at all the press game, post-game interviews, and you realize, okay, I understand why they made that decision to do this and to not do that. So
yeah,
I'm getting humbled as I get more and more. Having podcasts with you, man, is great because you really helped me with the X's and O's, the analytical stuff, the terminology. And when you really dive into it, it becomes a lot more simple, but it also becomes more complicated, which is, I know, kind of an oxymoron, but it's like, it's just fun, man. And I'm thinking that a lot of these especially the rookie receivers, a lot of the young guys that we're expecting to produce and play, I think we saw a big jump from week one to week two. And that's the biggest thing I saw. I saw Christian Watson have a lot more confidence. I saw Dobbs. Remember when he had that 20-yard run on like that third down where
wide receiver screen?
They did another one, I think, later in the game. He looked confident. He looked like he was ready to play, man, and I'm excited. So,
yeah, the wide receiver screen, what I noticed, first of all, you could see the hat count. The ball goes out there, and it's okay, we might have something. And as soon as he took his first 3 steps, I literally said out loud, who the is that? Because he had so much burst. And then when he got tackled and spun around, I seen the 87. I was like, that was, oh my God, Dobbs is so much quicker than the scouting
report said.
Yeah, 100%, man. Yeah. Got a ton of game speed. Another person that stood out to me there late in the game, it was early in the fourth quarter. Dean Lowry completely blew up a run, and he didn't get the tackle. But he took bodies with him. And before Montgomery knew what was going on, there was multiple people getting pushed back. It was a wide run to the left. So Dean Lowry getting out of that 3 tech, it was either a 3 or 4 technique, and pushing those offensive linemen back into the backfield. I thought that was really cool.
Dean Lowry, our third overall tackler of 5 total, 4 solo. He, the last 2 years, man, he's just been quietly consistently good. He reminds me of like a Aaron Campman, or you know what I mean? Just a guy that quietly does his job. People say like, should we get rid of the guy? Or, you know, but it's
right. Being a free agent year too. He's probably not going to be back with the Packers, and he's going to earn a check. He is, and good for him, man, because, like you said, he's coming off the best year of his career for sure. That goal line stand there, man, in the fourth quarter was absolutely huge.
And that was probably a touchdown, though. Yeah. If it's me and it's that, that was a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, I said the same thing.
If they called that on the field, that's a touchdown. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But the rules, again – you got to have conclusive evidence, and you could not see the ball. We know where the ball was, but you could not see the ball. And I'm going, hey, I'll take it. It's all good.
Yeah.
But the thing that made that goal line stand even happen was the play to the pylon. And I don't know if you noticed, but Quay Walker.
Quay, dude.
I'm telling you, man, we've got us a dog there. He's someone who's, I mean, the fact
that. And not only that, it was almost a fumble out of bounds because of the way that Quay reacted. You know what I mean? Like you said, dude, Quay didn't flash as off the screen as I thought he did in the first game, which is just even more, I think, impressive just because that was his first game. And then he got a little bit banged up. Maybe he's still nursing that injury. I'm just so excited about him, man. He just seems like he has all the potential in the world, and they seem like they trust him. I don't remember a rookie class of any recent years where the Packers seem like they're more willing to throw their guys in right away.
You know, we talked about it, man, during the draft. And when they were drafted, it was – now, we know how the Packers do with their rookies. They're going to sit them, and they're not going to get much playing time.
For years, fact, sometimes.
Yeah. And I guarantee you, man, they got the rookie OTAs, and they seen Quay Walker move the way we're seeing him move right now. And they were like, oh, no, he's going on the field.
Yeah.
Like, that dude is a – and I told Mandy, we were watching the telecast, and I said, look in the middle. Look at the two inside linebackers. I said, which one do you think's the rookie? Because he was towering over Devondre. Yeah. And I know they're about the same build, the same size, but there was just something about Quay standing there was just like, God, he just looks like a grown you-know-what man. So that goal line stand, dude, was absolutely phenomenal. Rodgers – keeping it on that read option, bro.
Wonderful. That's amazing.
I was just like, that's awesome. And then, of course, the big play action pass there to Sammy Watkins. Dude, what did you think? You know, let's look at the stat line real quick. Let me go to that for the receivers. Sammy Watkins.
I'm just saying, man, we might have something in him. 3 catches off of 4 targets, 93 yards. The dude's averaging 31 yards a catch. I mean.
Yeah. That long was 55 yards, right? Yeah. So. Yeah, and I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. He seems like – the thing that stood out to me, because he's not this big, you know, physical-looking wide receiver, but his hands look very, very strong, especially on those slant patterns. Yeah, it just looked great. And then, of course, we had the Jair Alexander pick at the end of the game, just the icing on the cake, right? Just anything you can do to hurt Justin Fields' stat line just a little bit more. The guy threw 11 passes. And he threw a pick. That's just awesome. So I know Ryan and the guys are going to have a field day on Twitter. I haven't taken that route, you know, arguing with the fans much, but there was some serious trash talked. And I'm going to tell you right now, there were Bear fans that thought they were going to come in here and just boat race the Packers.
I don't understand. Like, you barely, and because I think it was because of the fact that, well, we beat the 49ers, and that sounds so glitz and glamorous, but. The 49ers with Trey Lance is not the 49ers, okay? We saw as soon as he goes out, Garoppolo comes in, and they're the 49ers again. All you need is the 49ers are a team that has a great defense. They can run the ball very well, and they need a quarterback to basically just manage the game. Trey Lance was a complete off the rails, didn't quite know what to expect from him, couldn't count on him. He's not consistent, and you had 5 inches of rain, okay? So that's why the game went that way. That's literally all that happened. And then you come in here into Green Bay and you think that with man, it's just not going to work that way. And I think the Bears fans are going to get humbled real quickly. And the fact that I think, again, that I don't know, man, I love Rodgers. Rodgers seemed like he had a little more What am I trying to say? He didn't show the poutiness. I think that he had more wherewithal about himself, thinking I need to carry myself a little more. I have to keep positive. Even when things aren't going my way, I need to force a smile. I work in the service industry. You know how many times during the day I force a smile while I'm talking to a Karen that hates my life and hates me and everything else. I just smile through it. Ah, you're so right. Everything you said is perfect. Yeah, great point.
You got nice hair too.
You have the best haircut I've ever seen.
We got 12 original. At the podium. Let's go see what 12 has to say here.
Speaking of hair.
Great day.
Yeah, exactly.
So those are fun guys to play with. They truly enjoy each other, pull for each other, very different styles. But I applaud, you know, their growth over the years. If you think about them when they came in, both of them, I felt like Aaron was a little heavy, you know, when he first came in, and was nowhere near as elusive.
Dang, body shaming, bro.
And he always had good hands, though. I remember a catch against Dallas, basically caught off the turf. I threw him a terrible one, and I was like, oh, that's a pretty great catch right there. But the attitude has always been there, just zero complacency. AJ came in and he's more of a one-trick pony, downhill guy. But he wasn't running behind his pads. Now you watch him. I mean, he finished some runs tonight, and he delivered blows to linebackers, to secondary players, to defensive linemen. And he might have some of the best hands on the team now. You watch him in, like, the pat and go lines, and it's impressive. So I give both those guys credit. They are examples of what it means to be a pro, and especially here. The ascension year after year, and then just the art of being a good teammate.
Aaron, were you part of the planning of that ayahuasca celebration, and would you think
it? There it is.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. And I was not a part of any of the planning of celebrations. They leave me out because when it comes to one-trick ponies, I am kind of a one-trick pony.
Aaron, what's the energy like on the sideline when the defense gets that goal line stop? And then what's your mentality when you're going out there and the ball's inside the one?
Don't fumble the snap. I mean, it felt like that was game when that happened. You know, eight minutes left. But doing the math, you know, we get a first down there, then there's 6 minutes. Get a second first down, then there's 4 minutes. So the way our defense was playing too, you know, they gave a touchdown the first drive and then a bunch of three and outs in a row was pretty spectacular. And they gave up some gashes in the run game, second and 20 running power, getting a first down. Obviously wasn't probably in their, high on their excitement level, but, you know, 10 points to an NFL offense is a great day, and we should win every single one of those games.
I know it wasn't Elton's finest game today, but what does it mean to get 74 back?
Let me just say this about success. And I'd say the same thing to these guys, and I have said the same thing. The definition of success isn't always measured in stats. And for Elton, I thought tonight was an absolute success. I really do. He's been out for a long time. And he's battled in practice and battled in his rehab, and he went out there and played an NFL football game. That, to me, is a successful night. And a lot of times we get caught up in a definition of success that's actually never really attainable. So we live in this feedback loop of negative self-talk and self-criticism that I don't think is good for a healthy ego or good for our own confidence. So what I know the guys were telling them and what I feel about them is that tonight was a huge success for Elton, and I couldn't be prouder of Elton Jenkins.
Aaron, speaking of that success, especially with these young guys, set them up for success in other situations.
That was good stuff right there, dude. Love how you went to bat for Elton there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really is leadership 101, man. You praise in public and you criticize in private. And I love the fact that Aaron Jones is, you know, I know he's the Green Bay Packers player of the game, according to Packers.com, had a monster game. And Aaron body shamed him. And then you got the guy that, you know, we open up the show going, yeah, I mean, he seemed to struggle a little bit. You know, Elton, I think he gave up at least one, maybe two sacks. And that's the guy that Aaron's praising because he kind of put it on the line. I think Aaron's a phenomenal leader. And I think that the people that don't want to acknowledge it, most of them just have this vendetta. I don't know, man. But that's good stuff from 12. Let's do this, man. We're kind of winding down here. We're at the 48-minute mark. Going through the stats just a little bit more here. Let's see. On defense, Preston Smith, seven total tackles, two sacks, two tackles for a loss, and the big number for me, three quarterback hits, Jacob.
Yeah,
massive. Phenomenal there. Darnell Savage showing up a little bit, had six tackles, didn't blow any coverage to the best of my knowledge. Like you said, Dean Lowry, five total tackles. Adrian Amos, five total tackles. You had Quay Walker, who had five tackles, also had a pass deflection. And again, that big play there at the goal line to force that fourth and goal, I think, was huge. And you're kind of seeing Quay jump over Devondre Campbell a little bit. Are you noticing that, man? Does it seem like that Quay is kind of flashing a little bit more than Campbell? Do you think their roles have changed? Maybe Campbell's playing a little more jack backer, you know, occupying blocks, things like that in the running game. What do you think?
I think they're making Campbell do the dirty work and just kind of freeing up Quay because he's such an athletic freak that it's like, why not? You know, I can't remember the last time I can think about having two Packers linebackers that you just like don't care about. You know, whoever's back there, fine, cool. I don't care whether it's against the pass or against the run or whether it's, you know, spying a quick running quarterback. I'm just excited as all get out that we have those guys. And then do you want to do our dogs of the week? I feel like we should get that.
Let's do that.
I've already kind of anticlimactic. Mine's got to be Preston. I mean, it's got to be the guy. Just like you said.
I got you. Let's do it. Let's hit it real quick. Let's get to our dog of the week. All right. Sound like me, man, when that stuffed crust pizza box got open today. Better stay away from that stuffed crust, man. That's mine. All right, dog of the week. Jacob, who is your dog of the week? You say Preston, is that right?
It's got to be, man. I mean, I thought about a couple other guys. I really liked what Rasul did, but it's just not the volume and the amount of, you know, just plays that were overall just really great. And Preston had those. He had, like you said, seven total tackles, four solo, two sacks, two tackles for losses. He had three quarterback hits, and a lot of the other stuff, too, was stuff that maybe doesn't show up on a stat line, like his gap contain, the fact that he was, like you said, really good. I thought that my worst fear was that Fields was going to run all over the place on us. And granted, Montgomery kind of did, but I felt like that was more of an interior gash when he'd kind of they ran well. I'm not going to, you know, I should pull back because I was an anti-Montgomery guy this whole week. I was like, don't play Montgomery. He's the worst. Herbert's way better, blah, blah, blah. Montgomery showed, I don't know if it's just that we're that bad or if their run blocking was that great, but, you know, he did well. And that being said, like, I want to see more from Kenny. I want to see more from Jerron Reed. I thought that those were the guys that were supposed to make us a top five defense. We were supposed to have, like, we were talking in the chat, oh, this top five defense talk is really getting old because, I don't know, man. Every year we get so excited and then we just 100 yards. Yeah, okay, that just happened. Like, nothing. And guys look like they can't tackle. They forgot how to tackle. But I want to focus on the positive, like you said. All right. So dog of the week's Preston. But I want to see more. I'm very happy with tonight. I just, you know, I'm more of a perfectionist. I want to fix the stuff that we need to fix before we start getting really too ahead of ourselves. We don't want to be Bears fans, guys. We don't want to be celebrating, you know, being the tallest midget out there. I shouldn't say that, but it's basically, you know, that's what it is, man. It's celebrating while you're on the third place podium. You've seen that meme where the guy's biting the metal and he's popping champagne, and then you pan out and there's two other people that are on like the first and second place platform. I feel like that's, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves and start being too cocky, but I'm excited.
I agree, man. And my dog of the week, it came down to two players. It's between Aaron Jones and Sammy Watkins. I just want to do an honorable mention. Sammy Watkins, like we said, three catches for 93 yards, averaging 31 yards a catch. Had that long of 55 there on that deep crosser. He was only targeted four times, had three catches, and I don't remember it being a drop either. That other one is probably just broken up. But I got to give it to Aaron Jones, and I know it's kind of boring because last week he won one of our Dog of the Week. But man, you've got to I believe it was last. No, it was the week before. It was one of the preseason games. But Aaron Jones is definitely the cog that makes this car go. Man, I mean, 15 carries, 132 yards, 8.8 yards per carry, with a TD, a long run of 36. But he also had 3 catches for 38 yards. And a touchdown there. So, and he was targeted 3 times. Targeted 3 times, yep. 3 catches, 38 yards and a TD. So, a couple touchdown day there for Aaron Jones. Just a guy who, we're 2 games in now. Granted, he didn't get many carries in the first game, but he's averaging over 9 yards per carry, Jacob, on the year. Yeah. Dude is, he's the one that makes it go, man.
He's
so,
for real.
Yeah. Huge, huge victory here for the Packers. 27-10. Obviously, the point spread fluctuated between 9.5 to 10.5 points. So definitely smoked that point spread, which is awesome. And again, you know, anytime you get an NFL win, dude, a win is a win, right? And we got to get ready for Tampa Bay. So we got Tampa next week. It's going to be a 3:25 Central, 4:25 Eastern kickoff live from Tampa Bay. I know when we talked to Krista, Christian Watkins's mom, she said that or Watson's mom, she said that she was going to be down there. They're originally from Tampa. So she said she was expecting something crazy, like 500 people to have tickets down there.
we should try to see if she can live stream.
Yeah. So here's the thing, man. We need to go into Tampa and we need to compete. This is another one of those games, Jacob, that I had as a loss, right? I had Minnesota as a loss, and I had Tampa as a loss. Now, when I went back and reevaluated later, I ended up saying this was – I ended up picking Tampa. Originally, I picked it to be a win and then picked it a loss, is I think how it came into play. But they are banged up. They went down there and slayed that giant that is the Saints today that Brady has struggled against.
To be honest, though, let's they did not look great, and Brady has not been impressive. The guy's 47 years old or something. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to start falling. Like, the law of nature has to take effect at some point. The voodoo can only last so long, you know?
Yeah, and the special teams are buttoned up. Special teams aren't going to bail them out this time, right? So I think the thing that's going to come into play is the run defense, but it's how much will Brady lean on the run and how healthy is Fournette, because he was a little banged up last week, but – we shall see again. Yeah, go ahead.
Clayton, can I you mentioned Krista Watson. Her birthday is tomorrow. Is that correct?
That is correct. We actually
share a birthday with some sort of redneck fellow that I know.
Yeah, that's me, man. That's me.
Oh.
The big 4-0 tomorrow. So,
are you serious? That's what it is.
Yeah. 40 years old, man. Yeah. It's all downhill from here. Mandy gets mad at me. She's like, can you believe you're going to be 40? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be dying soon. And she's like, shut up. Stop that. Yeah, I'm kind of morbid like that. I got a weird sense of humor. But, turned 40, and she surprised me yesterday. You guys know I'm a history geek. So we went to dinner last night with a bunch of friends and family, and she gave me an envelope. And in that envelope was itinerary airfare. So we're going to go up to the Hudson Valley up in New York and see a bunch of historical sites. Going up there in a couple weeks. So you guys are going to have the absolute honor of having Jacob host the post-game show, right? Might have a couple goons come in with him. Yeah. But I'm going to try to call in from the hotel as well. And I know you're going to rock it out of the park, too. But, yeah, appreciate you bringing up the fact that I'm 1 year older, man. I appreciate that, definitely.
One more year around the sun, right? Well, like you said, happy birthday, man. I didn't know that, because you honestly look younger than I do. I have way more gray hair than you do, which is just not fair in any way. But one other thing I really want to touch on real quick. One of the goons that might be hosting with me is going to be one of my co-hosts, either probably Justin and Tony. Tony, who, like I said, he co-hosts the Fantasy Football Podcast, the Packernet Fantasy Podcast, on the network here. Today, he decided that he was going to just throw his hat in the ring with a DraftKings tournament. Out of 1,400 applicants, he placed first today, won $6,000, playing some of the most ridiculous players you'd ever seen in a lineup. The guy had Marcus Mariota in his lineup. He had some guy named Greg Dulch. I'm going to be honest with you. I have no idea who this guy is. He's a backup from I don't even know what team he's on. I it's that ridiculous. The guy signed two backups and then had Cooper Kupp and a couple. I'm telling you guys, tune into our podcast. We're not floating you. This guy really does know what he's talking about. Paul knows what he's talking about. Justin's really knowledgeable. And at least I can talk well. So we'll help you out, you know. So if you want to lay some bets, stay tuned. But anyways, yeah. I just had to plug that because the guy, like I said, horseshoe up his rectum for the rest of his life. He just wins money like this all the time.
Love it, man. Congratulations, Tony. That's a big win there, dude. Good stuff, man. And yeah, so we're going to get out of here, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. I'm sure you're probably listening to this in podcast form on Monday morning. If so, we're actually going to make it go live here in just a second, just a little bit after midnight Eastern time. And yeah, you guys have a great Monday. Enjoy it. Enjoy a victory Monday. Try not to go into work too hungover, right? Jacob, put the whiskey down, put the bourbon down, and get into work tomorrow. Are you off tomorrow, Jacob?
I'm off tomorrow, man. We got to record our Chalk Talk tomorrow, don't we?
We probably will go ahead and do Chalk Talk. So
we got a couple good options, right?
Yeah. Send me your favorite. We might choose.
And guys, I really want to try and use this website we found where we can splice in the all 22 or the clips of the Chalk Talk, whatever play we're going to do. And then also we found this website where we can do X's and O's in live real time, where we can actually draw the play out, show where the guards and the tackles are going to be, you know, pursuing, show the motion, show the routes, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be really, really more interactive. So if you can see it on video form, it's all the better. But if you have to listen on podcast, it'll be more descriptive even. So I think it'll be the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. Yeah. When we do that, the podcast form will hit obviously on Tuesday. But when we go live, you'll get a notification on both Twitter and YouTube. And I do want to mention this as we sign off. Today's show is actually brought to you by pristineauction.com. Really, really excited to be partnered with them. You guys definitely need to go check out their website. They've got awesome, awesome gear there. Get anything from, you know, I don't know if you can see here in the background, but this picture right here I just picked up, that's Willie Davis autograph picture. Pretty cool.
So I got pristine auction. I got Lynn Dickey, Josiah DeGuara. I got a Robert Tonyan signed helmet, El Lazard signed helmet, David Robinson signed jersey. I got it all, man. We got it.
Good stuff, dude. Yeah, so they, you know, obviously Pristine's the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. Actually, if you're hearing my voice, you got a chance to win the Jordy Nelson Mini Vince Lombardi Award. They're going to be drawing that tomorrow, so you may have time if you haven't already. Just got to go over to pristineauction.com, click register on the top of the page. When you register, use our registration code Favre, F-A-V-R-E, and that'll enter you into the contest. And as a bonus, they're going to give you $10 off your first winning auction. Just know that every item on pristineauction.com comes with a certificate of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators. And like I said, that drawing is going to be held tomorrow on September 19th, the big birthday day. So with that being said, Jacob, dude, as always, man, thank you so much for hanging out. Dude, really appreciate your time. Big win. Congratulations. And we will see you all on the trail. Like I said, this podcast should hit on Monday. Y'all have a great, great work day. And talk a little trash to some Bears fans along the way. But as always, let's go out and be the change that we want to see in the world. Go Pack, go.
Inches to go. The Vader. 17-14. Cowboys out in front.